blessings every mouth will find. And you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings in the name of my one. Count your blessings, he must have done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. When you look at others with their land and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth unfold. Count your many blessings, but he cannot buy your reward in heaven or your home on high. Count your blessings, name them. Whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, things and nail them one by one. Count your blessings, he will see what God has done.
Thank you. Please be seated. I want to preach a message this morning, really entitled this, The Women at the Tomb. The Women at the Tomb. Here we come on Mother's Day, and I've been planning this for weeks and weeks and weeks for this to land. Right? No, not. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Sometimes the Lord just works it out and it's there. And so we come to this time when Christ has now been taken off the cross. He's put into the grave and he's now been 3 days and three nights. The 3 days and three nights. Don't we love to kind of debate about that? You know, it's this time period is such a challenge for us to see, because we think of days according to our calendar. We're like, how does that work? And this, so forth. And but there's several ways to come to the 3 days and the three nights. And you look, if you do a Google search on 3 days and three nights, you're going to get, and you hit the image button, you're going to get all kinds of charts that have different kind of situations, right? And they come to 3 days and three nights, and they'll get into deep theological and historical, and they all and they're all different. You know, it's a but what seems to fit right for me is this: Jesus being buried at the beginning of the day of preparation, which is the day before the Sabbath of the Passover, which would have been the first night and the first day. Then the Sabbath day being the Passover, then the second night and the second day. And then we have the first day of the week as we come to here, which would have been the third night and the third day. You say, well, that's backwards. It says day and night, night and day. Well, for the Jewish calendar at times, and I've done some research on the Jewish calendar, we often say, well, the Jewish calendar starts at night, right? They start at night. Their day starts at sunset, but actually it's the Sabbath that actually starts at sunset. Sometimes the rest of it is just normal. You say, well, which one is it? Yeah, one of those. Some people put the first day on the Friday when the Lord died. It'd still be considered day because sunset hadn't taken place quite yet. Others want to move the death back to Thursday. Others even back to Wednesday, and they bring the time. But here's what I want to say to you this morning. Let's not strain at gnats with this thing. Jesus said to the Pharisees, I'm going to give you a sign. Only one sign I'm going to give you. And that's the sign of Jonah. He said 3 days and three nights would be in the heart of the earth. If Jesus said he was going to be 3 days and three nights, it was 3 days and three nights. You say, are you sure? Yep. I'm as sure of that as everything else I'm sure of in here. If Jesus said it, and however we want to figure, well, which one was it? One of those. You know what I find sometimes? We strain at the gnats because it gives us something that we can kind of dig into and philosophize, and we don't have to do anything about it. Do y'all get what I'm saying there? And so I don't know which one it was. I think I really believed what I said. You know, I think it was that one and that one. But at the end of the day, it was 3 days, 3 nights. He was there, and then he rose again. Number one is this. I want to start with this morning. God places value on women. God places value on women. If you have one of these stringy things or some kind of bookmark or something, put it there in Matthew. We're going to be back here, Matthew chapter 8. But I want us to turn over to the book of Luke. Luke in chapter 1. I want us to see something in Luke chapter 1 and what we're going to get here, and we're going to pull these things together. Luke in chapter 1 and verse, we're going to begin in verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It said, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Listen, when God wanted to bring his son into this world, he sent his angel unto a woman. I'm not trying to be controversial here, folks. I'm trying to set something that's important for us to see. I think it's an encouragement for us to see. But I want us to say some things. You're going to think, where is this pastor? Where is he going? Just stay with me, all right? You're getting a little nervous, aren't you? You know, I'm trying to get you, like, pique your interest a little bit. So, I'm just saying, God didn't go to the man Joseph first. Well, listen to what I'm saying to you. And I asked him, is it okay if this woman you're engaged to, is it okay if she's used of God? He didn't do that. He didn't go to Joseph and say, is it okay if Mary uses her life to serve me? He didn't ask that. No, he sent Gabriel to this woman, Mary. She, by the way, who was already, before they were married, highly favored of God. She was already highly favored of God. She was already exemplary in her life. She was blessed among women. This is who she was. This is her situation. The Bible says here that the Lord was already with her. He was already with her in her life. Look, a husband here, Joseph, did not complete Mary. You understand? She didn't need Joseph to become a highly favored woman before God. He didn't complete her. By the way, no more than did Mary complete Joseph. Man, he needed her. He couldn't tie his own shoes without her. That's what modern TV would tell us today. Man can't live without woman. By the way, listen. No. Listen, God's plan was, Mary was already highly favored. Their wonderful relationship together that became one flesh was the result of their own personal relationships with God. See, it wasn't like, okay, Joseph really helped Mary, or Mary really helped Joseph. No, they already had their own relationship with God that was highly favored. And so when they came together, it was a wonderful relationship that continued from that. Ladies, I want to say this to you this morning, is this. You can be everything God wants you to be in spite of your relationship with a man. In spite of that. Or with it, of course, too. But in spite of like, well, I don't have all these things. And the Bible has to, you know, the Bible gives so much instruction on marriage because it's hard. It's hard. It's two people. There's no two people that just have the same mind. Matter of fact, I don't even have my same mind all the time. Right? Sometimes I'm in my mind. Sometimes I'm out of my mind. Right? And so when you get two individual people, they come together, you're like, wow, this is hard. You know, I thought this time we just love each other. Love wears out. Like that kind of love, you know what I'm talking about. You know, And so, but what we need, though, is that relationship with God. And, and ladies, you can be everything God wants you to be, with or without that relationship. You say, well, my situation is just different. That's what I'm here to say this morning. It doesn't matter. Your relationship with God is can be highly favored no matter what the situation is outside of that. Isn't that exciting? Are you excited about that? And I am. I'd be encouraged. I am encouraged that I can be everything God wants me to be in spite of what else is going on. But lest we misunderstand this, Mary was espoused, engaged, we'd say, in the likeness that we would say, to a just man, as the Scripture calls Joseph. By the way, a woman that's highly favored is probably going to find herself in that kind of relationship with a just man. By the way, a just man is probably going to be looking for a woman that's highly favored. So this is kind of normal, natural, that this kind of thing is there. But here's the thing. They together were also blessed mightily. They can be blessed, a highly favored individual, and they can be blessed together mightily. But what I want us to really understand on this Mother's Day 2025 is this. You can trust God however you find your situation this morning. If you've got a fellow that isn't everything that you would hope him to be, doesn't matter. I'd like to make several jokes there, but I don't want to. I'm going to refrain. You find yourself with a fellow that's not everything that you would like him to be or that he ought to be. If you're already married, you can still be everything God wants you to be. Still be everything you got. If you're not married and there's some kind of thing that say, well, maybe is this somebody that we're equally yoked, right? Because somebody you'd say, well, this person's not. Well, then maybe there's the problem. And you say, well, maybe there's no relationship. Well, either way, no matter where you find yourself in your life right now, you can be highly favored among God. So not only did God announce to a woman that his son was going to come into this world, he also announced to some women that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. Isn't that exciting? The first person on earth that got told was a woman. And now the first people that are told that he rose again was a group of women. You say, well, why did God always choose women? Well, why he had to start with Mary is kind of obvious. Yeah. What's this? You know, are you sick? No. I was thinking about this. Why was this group of women the next people? I mean, there's the apostles, there's people. Why were they? I'm going to jump way ahead of my message, and we're going to get back to it. Because they were there. Because they were there. Oh, let's get to this. I'm going to jump too far ahead and I'm going to have to backtrack and we're going to be lost. Okay, Matthew 27. Get back to Matthew 27. Verse 2. It says, and behold, there was a great earthquake. Okay, let me go back. Verse 1. At the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. So, the same thing that the angel said to Mary those many years ago, this angel says to these women, fear not. Fear not. Bunch of chickens. Right? I'm not sure what there was to be afraid of. Look again, verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Okay. That right there doesn't happen every day. Right? I mean, I suppose earthquakes, angels moving stones could elicit some fear. Right? I mean, listen, this heavenly being coming with an earthquake, rolling the stone, and now just sitting up there, perched on it, looking down. I mean, it's kind of a little creepy. Right? You can see how a little fear might come there. What? You walk up and you're expecting, and we can, I'm not going to get into all this morning, but they were going there to apply some new herbs and some things, some aromas. They didn't take care of the body in the same way. And so at one place they're like, how are we going to get in there? They're walking, because the gospel, different gospel mess talk about different parts. They're walking, like, how are we going to get there? I know we're going. We got the stuff. We're going to go and apply this. It'd kind of be maybe what we would do is maybe apply some flowers to the grave a little bit more. It's just really just a place, a thing of honor, remembrance, and some of these kind of things, and purification in some sense. And so they're coming and they're like sad, disappointed, confused, unsure. And here they come walking to the grave and they're thinking, how are we going to get this open? You know, a lot of times we talk about how big that stone was, but the stone did get moved. But here was the name, probably it was a group of men, but here they're like, I don't know how we'll figure that out. And they get there, and it's already open, and there's some dude sitting up there. You say, was it a dude? I don't know what they thought it was. Some glowing white apparition sitting up there on the stone just chilling out. Right? A little unexpected. That'll bring a little fear to you right there. In verse 4, it says, for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. I mean, listen, right there, that would have been something to behold. The people that are just, right, they're just, I don't know what that whole thing shake, you know, looked like. I mean, just, you know, shock maybe, something like that. And they're just frozen, like, I don't know what to do. What would you do? No, I'd be expecting it. Yeah, because we've read it. It's easy when we already kind of have all these things. Imagine being the first time to see these first things. So number 2 gets to this. Listen, God. Number 1, God puts a value on women. He values women. And we find this through the Scriptures. And so we talk about a lot that the Bible is written to men, to men to be leaders and men to take leadership and these kind of things. Certainly, certainly. But God puts a great value on women. And listen, there's not a who's more important. It's just who has a different role. And so number 2 is this. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Let me ask that question this morning. Are you ready? That's point number 2. Are you ready to meet the Lord? So we don't know the day or the hour that the Lord may come. We don't know. It might be now. Or now. I mean, could it be? Wait. No, okay, we're going to go on. I'll finish this morning. I'm just going to keep going until he comes. Yeah, really. Okay, really, none of us, but here's the thing, none of us may be here when the Lord returns. We may have all already gone to glory to meet him. All right, we may have already been. None of us in this room may be here. Maybe just these kids that are back there in the nursery. Maybe all that's left. All of us just expired, right? We've already gone on. We don't know. Either way, whether he comes or we go, we don't know. We don't really have any idea. You know, you start saying, I know I'm closer now than I was before. Right? I mean, both ways. We're closer now to the Lord coming back than he was when I was born. And I'm closer to finishing this thing than I was So either way, we're getting closer. But either way, we don't really have any idea what time the Lord, we're going to stand face to face with Jesus. So my question for you today is, are you ready to meet the Lord? Now, but no, I don't mean leave this life like in death. I don't mean that way this morning. But I mean this way. For the Lord Jesus Christ, or for God to pop into your life. Boom! Here he is out of nowhere. There's Jesus. Now, of course, it was an angel and it was God sending his messenger and Gabriel back there. Here he is. He's in their life and now he's got it. There's the decision. By the way, it's not going to work. You say, if an angel pops up to me, I'm going to probably go back to sleep or something like that, because he doesn't work that way. We understand that. But there's other ways that God's going to pop into your life and bring something into your life and give you some decision. Do something in your life and in your mind and in your heart, and God's going to give you some direction. God's going to put a calling or a burden or a person on your life, all of a sudden out of nowhere. And so are you ready to meet the Lord when he comes to meet you? What would you do if while you were heading over to church, or while you're pulling up at your house, or going out to your car at work or something like that, then all of a sudden there's an angel looking at you? You know, sitting up on top of a wall or something. I don't know, trying to just get that same. Sitting on the roof of your house. Hey, I'm not saying that any of us here would not be terribly afraid. I think you say, Pastor, what would you be afraid? I would be out of my mind, startled. I mean, I don't even start. I don't know what the word is. And I first think if somebody's trying to play a practical joke on me, because that's something that my family would do. And it's no, not really. But you see something like, what's going on? And I would, that's kind of the way I do it. But you think, wow, this is of the Lord. It's something that goes. And the unexpected the unexpected is fearful. God puts something on your life that's different than what you've always been doing. And God asks you to do something that you've never been willing to do yet, or even considered to do. And all of a sudden, God places something in your life. I'm telling you, it is scary. It's always scary. I don't mean the kind of scary that puts you in a corner, you know, sniffling and not that kind of scary, but the kind of scary that says, wow, what a thing. So when I say, are you ready? It means something like what we find in verse 5. And it said, the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. You know how to be ready? You know how to be ready to meet the Lord? It's really this right here. Seek him right now. Seek him. Well, am I ready? Well, here's the question. Because maybe we should ask ourselves this. We should ask, am I ready to meet that kind of situation? Am I ready if God kind of came and said, hey, I want to do something, maybe uses his word or situation or burden or whatever. And would I be ready to meet him? And here's the thing. Am I seeking him right now? Every moment and portion of our lives, I'm telling you, everything about our lives can be about seeking him. Everything. How we live this life. So when we're seeking him, listen, when we are seeking him, we are thrilled by what he's doing. No, listen. Has God ever brought something to your life, an opportunity or occasion, and you're kind of mad that he did? Right, a missionary comes in. There's this family. They had been preparing to put a new floor in their house. They had stripped the carpets, and it was nothing but plywood floors. And they were going to be putting some new carpets in, and not around here. It was up north, probably. And so they're putting new carpets in. They're ready to do this, and a missionary came to their church, and they're there, and the church got up to. One of the fellows they're talking to me, came, presented, and so forth. And this fellow, this family, they went out and they noticed the missionary's vehicle. The tires were all but bare. And He said said to his wife, the family, he said, we need to use our floor money to buy tires for this missionary so they can have new tires so they're driving on the road. And so they did that. They pushed back their floor project to put new tires on this missionary's vehicle. It's been some years later, and they had a missionary over to their house, and they're for lunch after church service, and they're there. And can you imagine inviting somebody into your house when you have bare floors? It's like, how embarrassing. Could never do that. I've got to have my house completely 100% perfect before somebody can come into it. That's what we think sometimes, isn't it? We get thinking like this. So they had this missionary into their, this is a true story. They had their missionary, this missionary into their house, and they're having lunch, and he's there, and the missionary just says, as you would make, oh, he said, so you put in some new floors. He said, yeah, we've been trying to put in new floors for years. He said, oh, so what's going on? And he told him the story. He said, well, how long was that? How long ago was that? He says, I think it was like 5-6 years ago. They said, oh, really? He said, yeah, but every year another missionary comes by. Can I tell you, some people would be like, oh no, another missionary. Guess there goes that floor project. But can I say this? When you're seeking the Lord, you're thrilled about what God brings. I'm saying you're thrilled about what God does. Look at verse 6 with me. He says, he is not here, for he has risen. And he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Brings us to number 3. Point number 3. Come and see. So listen, living by faith isn't just a whisper in the wind. Okay, what I mean, we don't just say, I'm just hoping. I ask people, if you died today, are you 100% sure you're going to go to heaven? I hope so. That's just a whisper. It's like, nobody really knows. Man, I do. You arrogant person, you think you can know? No, I don't know because of me. I know because of Him. Amen? If it was just me, I would be just like that whisper in the wind, but I know because I trust Him. Listen, it's not just some word. Faith is not just some word cast into the sky and hoping that there's someone somewhere that'll catch it. Somewhere that'll hear it, and somebody that'll do something about it. Can you imagine just praying into the wind and hoping that there's somebody out there that can hear it? Man, most of the world is like that. I was listening to this fella. He said, you know, it was really just a simple difference between, this is what this fella said, simple difference between atheists and Christians. A Christian says God created the world. And the atheist said that's stupid. Nobody created the world. And so the Christian said, and so this fellow said, he says, so there's two choices. We say there is a God that may or may not exist created the world. Or there's nothing that created the world. And this fellow was just saying, he said, you can argue whether there is or is not God, but you can't argue that there's a nothing. Right. I'll tell you, there's more than nothing. Yes, sir. And so sometimes but this is what most of the world is putting their hope in, is a nothing. Man, what a terrible, terrible thing. Faith, but watch this. Here's the thing. Faith, though, is the substance of things hoped for. So this, faith becomes, now here's what I'm saying, faith becomes visible. No, faith becomes visible. I don't mean when we're in heaven, I mean faith becomes visible right now. Faith becomes visible when we truly put our trust in the Lord. Y'all get what I'm saying here? When we truly put our trust in the Lord, faith becomes visible. That is when we will truly, that's when we will truly see what God is doing in our lives. And in those around us, we begin to see something. He says here in verse 6 again, he says, he is not here, for he has risen as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lives. You know what he said? Come on and see what this thing is all about. There's nothing as exciting, bone-chilling, and goose bumping, you know what I mean? As when you see the Almighty God of the universe reach into your life and say, come and see. I'll tell you, you ever prayed for something like specific? Like something really specific? And you believe God would do it, but, you know, I prayed for a lot of things. And then God does that specific thing. And just thinking about it right now brings it back to you a little bit. It gets a little goosebumpy. You know, it's goosebumpy. You're like, wow, that's amazing. So the world says, yeah, well, that could have happened by luck, by chance. Yeah, it could be. It could be. There's a lot of things that could happen by luck and by chance, and some things happen. But I'm going to tell you what, when we begin to seek the Lord and we begin to over and over and over seek Him and walk with Him and find Him, and we begin to see, it's like there's too much stuff. I'm the luckiest guy alive. Right? Well, have you won the lottery? I don't want the lottery. But what I'm seeking for, God is doing, I'm telling you, it becomes bone-chilling when you realize that the God of this universe, the creator of all this universe, is actually the one up there listening to me. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. Three people. Okay. All right. It is amazing. Let me rephrase it as a statement. It is amazing. I'm telling you, it's amazing. He says, come and see. Whew. I'm telling you, that, my friends, is where is what those that are seeking the Lord will find. Those that are seeking the Lord, we're going where He wants us to go. We're doing the things. We're thinking the way. We're in that place and we begin to see what God's doing. You say, well, isn't that just coincidence? I don't know how to really deal with that. Coincidence won't get you very far. It'll get you for a little bit of ways, and like, man, I'm just coincidentally getting there. But most people that are putting their hope and their faith in coincidence are going ahead, going home, and pillowing their head at night all alone, hopeless, and hoping the next thing. Listen, seeking the Lord is so much. If you've not had those experiences in your life, those things in your life, and where you're like, I know God, this was God. Not because I had a feeling. Not because of that. But because what I asked God, when I sought Him, when I did what He wanted, I followed Him, I seen God doing that. If you've not had those experiences in your life, go back and look at yourself and answer this question. Am I ready to meet the Lord? So the angel says, come and see. Come and see. And that's a personal invitation of God to see God working in your midst. Look at this. But then there's a further instruction what to do next. So what do you do after you come and see? I'm going to tell you, there becomes a natural progression. When I'm seeking the Lord, I begin to see what God's doing. Right? When I'm seeking Him and I'm trying to find what God's doing, I'm in that place, I start seeing what God's doing, and it gets exciting. And there's a joy in your life. It's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you start getting the corners of your mouth start lifting up on accident. People are like, what's going on with you? What are you happy about? I don't know. Once you get that smug look, I don't know what that, you know, you just, there's something, there's the joy that just kind of over, and then He says, come and see, and you see, wow, that is God. God is great. And then there's the next thing, which is number four. But well, verse 7. He says, and go quickly and tell His disciples that He has risen from the dead, and behold, He goeth before you into Galilee, there shall you see Him. Lo, I have told you. So, number four, go and tell. Here's what the angel says. Go quickly. Go quickly. Okay, look. When you see what God's doing, I mean, you have come and seen the Lord. The reaction to that is to go and tell. So, who do you go and tell? That's like, who do I, everyone? Well, sure, yeah, everyone. Go tell everyone. I'm never going to tell everyone. I can't. I think we're like almost 8 billion people now. I can't tell everyone. I did the numbers one time about all the people in Sri Lanka. If I sat down and had 5 minutes with every person, it would take me like 30, 40 years or something like that. Or something, or maybe it's even more, maybe 60 or something. In 5 minutes, for somebody that knows nothing, to go from nothing, if 5 minutes ain't going to cut it. I think I might have even been just a couple minutes. And I thought, you know, I can't tell everyone. I can't tell everyone. Sometimes we like this, just tell everyone. Okay, everyone. you know the thing about telling everyone? It means I really tell no one. Because, are you telling? Yeah, I'm telling everyone. Everyone. Everyone? Well, some of the everyone's. So, mostly what we find in the scriptures, you tell those that you already know. Right? This is mostly who in the Bible we find. Now, there's some times that the apostles are sent out, go two by two, and go, and compel them to come in and go house to house and go to these places. And they were obviously going into people that they didn't know. But these were, if we call them in some respects, missionaries or these kind of things. But the average believer, the average individual that finds Christ, Christ finds them, he tells them to go tell your people. Right? They were to go and tell that Jesus was risen from the grave. They were to tell those that already believed, but were discouraged and without hope. You know, we think the only time we talk about the Lord is to lost people, and that's it. We're just always constantly evangelizing. We somehow get in our mind that everything is about evangelizing, but what we find is it's not. Sometimes it's just encouraging other people that God is still alive. God's still working in our midst. And I would say the greatest thing we can do at times is stir up the troops. Right? And you're like, are we troops? Well, soldiers of the cross. Yeah, I don't know. We could stir up the team. You know, you go in before a ball game or something. You go, yeah, come on, we're gonna win. Yeah, we're gonna win. You get up to get confidence to go out there, and you go out there and they lose. You're like, why are we even doing that? It didn't work. Well, you know, but there's something about getting encouraged that you can do this. God's working. God's working in our midst, and so we find this oftentimes is telling others. It's what the angel tells them. Go tell them. Telling believers about what God has done and what's coming and seeing. That's what coming and seeing is all about. Listen, here's what God's done. That's why we come and testify one to another. I'm going to do this start. Miss Judy. Miss Judy came a couple weeks ago or so. She said, I just want to tell you about a testimony. Something that just happened in my life, God did in my life. You know what happened with her? She was seeking the Lord. I'm not going to get into the whole story. She was seeking the Lord, and she prayed, and the thing had happened. And the Lord said this, in a sense. He said, come and see this thing. And she went and found out that, wow, exactly what I was asking for, God did that thing. And then you know what she did? She said, Preacher, I got to tell you about something. This comes back later in the week. So I'm going to tell you. You know what happens? When we go and see God, we want to go and tell. Right? It's natural because it's exciting. It's encouraging. You say, well, the preacher doesn't need that. The preacher does need that. We all need that. Be encouraged that God. God's not dead. He's alive and he's going forth. And so the instruction was to go quickly and tell. And then in verse 8, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy and did run to bring his disciples word. Folks, we should not have to be poked, prodded, pushed, and tugged to go and tell. Well, then why are you doing it all the time, preacher? I don't know. Because Jesus, there's a lot of scripture about it. So why are you always pushing us to do that? I don't know, because I think it's what the Lord wants us to do, and I think it's what's going to make our life sweet. Was there some fear? Yeah. But y'all know that culture at that time. For a group of women to come into, I mean, Brother Jonathan was talking about with him and his brothers, like it's hard to tell one another. Imagine this group of women in that day to go up to tell a group of men, hey, we saw Jesus, here's what he said to you. Think there's a little fear? You mean me? You know the women's like, who's telling? You tell. I'm not telling. Mary Magdalene, no, you tell. No, you tell. And they're like, all right, let's do rock, paper, scissors for it. And they had it back then. Rock, paper, maybe not. And so they're going this thing, and who has to do? There's some fear, but I'm telling you, what a thing. If you have truly believed, if you have truly trusted God and He is working in your life, the instruction to go quickly will be reacted to quickly. The reaction that day was with fear and great joy. Fear and the great awe of God and the working in their lives. But great joy because He is risen. He's actually did what He said He would do. Like, well I believe that. I knew He was going to. I just, you know. It's exciting when faith becomes sight. Becomes visible. Becomes substance. Man, that's God. Go and tell. No matter, watch this. No matter if you will be received anyway. Go and, it's what he said. Go and tell. So, listen, we don't go quickly because of man's results. You hear what I'm saying? We don't go quickly because of man's results. We go because of the Lord's instruction. Look at verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. Oh, it is exciting. They're saying, the angels said, no, he's not here. He's risen. Go and tell him. And as they're going, it's like, let's go. They're excited with fear and joy. They're going. And all of a sudden, Jesus is all hell. They get excited. Verse 10, it says, verse 9, and they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. I love it. The Lord confirms that this is exactly what he wants them to do. They're told to go tell. And they're going. And as they're going, Jesus meets them and says, go. Go tell. Do it. It's just in case you weren't sure. I'm not sure if that's really, really what God wants me to do. The angel, who is he? You know? Number 5. Last thing. What if they will not listen? Can I say this, folks? If it's hard, quit. Right? If it's hard, just quit. You know what? I think it might be hard. I'm just not even going to start. Why even try if it's not going to work 100%? This would be a really great motivational series, wouldn't it? If it's hard, quit. If you think it might be hard, don't start. You'd say, man, you'd be out of business pretty quick. Yeah, it'd be a terrible thing. So what if they will not listen? Turn back over to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 6. We find the same account by Luke in his writing here, and he says, verse 6, it says, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Why even try if they won't listen? I knew they wouldn't listen. I knew it. Sometimes we're self-defeating. Right? Well, you ever do that? You tell someone, well, I just wanted to tell you. And you tell it so unconvincingly that the person is bound not to even, oh, I just want to tell you. I know you know. Yeah, I know you're probably not going to believe this. And then you tell them, they're like, yeah, I don't believe this. You know, why tell if they will not? Listen, this is one of the most difficult, frustrating, confusing things for us to figure out as believers. Lord, you said go quickly and tell, but when I do, they don't even believe me. Matter of fact, they think me a fool. It says here, these women were treated as what they were saying as idle tales. Y'all need to go back to your knitting. I don't think they knitted then, but, you know, you know, they're like, just right. This group of women, though, were not looking for validation from these men. How those men, the 11 and those with them, how they responded to them was not their motivation. Listen to what I'm saying to you, folks. We get this part. Their validation came from the Lord. But it's not just... I did my best. You know, sometimes we'll do this. Well, I tried. I tried. Didn't do any good. Whatever. I hate my life, you know, or something. Sometimes you think, you know, they're not going to listen. What's even the point? What's even the point? Look at verse 12. Then, well, let's go back to verse 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then, which then means sometime after that, arose Peter. And moseyed on down. No, what's that word? And he ran unto the sepulchre. If we would see in John's record, he said, Peter and the other apostle ran, but the other apostle got there first. John just wants to make it clear, we both ran, I'm faster. He said, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed. Watch this. Wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. What these ladies did had an impact. We'll find Peter some 50 days later on the day of Pentecost, standing among the people whom he was not so long ago afraid to even acknowledge knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Standing boldly, telling them of the resurrection. Quickly going and telling makes a difference. Even if we do not see how our part affects them. Trust the Lord. He said this. Listen, trust the Lord. He said it. Can I say this to you? That's enough. All right. Here's our invitation this morning. We're done. 15 minutes early. Yeah, I thought it was 15 minutes late. Well, it depends on... I'm going by Jewish time. Number one, can you trust the Lord enough to simply follow His instruction? Number two, can you receive your validation from Him alone and not need it from others? Third thing, is there someone right now in your life that you want to have the courage to go and tell, even knowing that they very likely will not believe you? And then the last thing is this. I want to encourage you, come to this altar, folks. Come to the altar this morning. Ask God to help you today. So I just never do that. It's not my thing. I don't think you need to do that. I didn't ask whether you think you need to do that. Right? You say, preacher, are you saying I have to do it? I'm not saying you have to do it. I'm saying seek the Lord. Have enough courage to say, God, I'm just going to step out and I want to come and see. What you're doing in my life, Lord. Trust Him. Let's all stand. Father, I do pray that you'd help us this morning, Lord. We so desperately need to just trust you. And Lord, there's so much in this passage and so many things going on here this morning. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you've not made a one person on this planet to feel or need to feel inferior at all. Lord, you've used so many people. We find every sort. You said you use the fools of this world even. Lord, you use all sorts of us. And from the Apostle Paul that was a great educated man to these really uneducated fishermen. And here we find these women from really all sorts of life. We think of Lydia and all these others, businesswomen. Lord, I pray that you would see this morning that, Lord, your desire is for each of us to be used in this place. And Lord, would you help us this morning that we would question in our own hearts, am I really and truly seeking you? Am I in that place? Lord, what sweet peace and joy when you say, come and see what I'm doing in your life. Lord, would you encourage your people now this morning to just share what you've done in our lives to those around us. And we'll thank you for it. Listen.